It's time for Operation Freedom with your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our ancillary bunker linked to our main Freedom Bunker in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor. We're here every Sunday for you from 2 to 5 Eastern, also available on our website, DaveJanda.com, both the free of the public side as well as the subscription side. On the subscription side, extra shows, extra content, extra analysis, extra guests, and archives to all of our shows, including the podcast for this show and every radio show back to our inception of Operation Freedom almost 11 years ago, all for a very small price of $9 a month. Get rid of your cable bill that's giving you misinformation and disinformation and keeping you in the dark. Dump it. I just saved you $100. $9 a month will get everything you need to know, plus more, and information the bought off lamestream fake media will not touch. My next guest is someone who's a very dear friend and someone who has been on the freedom side of the equation for decades for your financial freedom and your economic freedom. The deep state despises him. You mentioned Bill Holter, and they just start shaking uncontrollably, seizure-like activity. And why? Because he tells you what you need to know for your financial freedom and for your economic freedom, something that the deep state does not want. Because let's face it, if you're destitute, you become an easier target for them. They can control you much easier. And that's what Bill and his partner, the great Jim Sinclair, try to prevent with everything they do on their website, JS Mindset, JSMINESITE.com. After a lengthy career in financial services, Bill retired in 2006 and moved his family out of the United States. Power move at that point. He then returned after the dust settled in 2011 and currently makes his home in the great state of Texas. He joined Miles Franklin as an associate writer in 2002 and posted commentaries until early 2015. He is now working in collaboration with the great Jim Sinclair and helping to educate and enlighten folks through jsmindset.com. Bottom line, folks, Bill is one of the best forensic economic analysts in the world. It is my honor to welcome back Bill Holter to the Operation Freedom platform. Bill, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Thank you for having me back, Dave.
So, Bill, I want to hit some data points as it relates to what's happening in the financial and economic world. Just a couple headlines just from this week. GDP, huge miss. Economy grew just 6.5% in the second quarter, far below the 8.5% expected on a surprise inventory drop. Initial jobless claims disappoint as the number of Americans on the dole rises back above 13 million. U.S. pending home sales unexpectedly tumble in June due to a huge spike in prices. Manufacturing surveys disappoint in June, signal looming stagflationary threat. I bring this up, Bill, because many months ago you spoke about the fact that we were headed towards stagflation, which we saw in the end of the late 1970s and early 1980s. You were demonized for, well, just being, this is just fear porn, this is inaccurate, this is conspiracy theory. In fact, Bill, you were yet again ahead of the curve.
Well, the stimulus money, I mean, all of the cash infusions have run their course. And notice you have not heard the word expansion. You haven't heard the word expansion since 2008. The only thing you hear is recovery. And the reason being, I mean, if you look at industrial production has not made it back to where it was back in 2008. And in order to have an expansion, you have to go to new highs in production, and we're not. One thing that I was looking at the time, and actually yesterday or today was the day, the moratorium on evictions and foreclosures has not been extended. So I think now you're going to see some real convulsions in the real estate market. You're going to see people, you're going to see homeless increase drastically. And some of these landlords that have not been paid, they're going to be foreclosed on. So you will see some big, I think, big convulsions in real estate.
Well, and this is just the way the deep state operatives want, the totalitarians want, don't they, Bill? They want chaos. They want economic disruption, don't they?
Well, they want people flat on their butts so that they have to rely on government for their existence. And they want that so that, you know, anything that they want to push, anything that they want to do, the population has to say, well, okay, we'll do it as long as we get, you know, food and shelter.
So I was speaking to some folks in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor the other day, and they were saying that they think that this inflation situation is, well, transitory. And in fact, they really don't think it's as bad as I have noted on this show. Well, wait, Bill, let me just run through a couple numbers and have your take. Car rental charges are up 87% this year. Used car prices are up 45%. Gas is up 45%. Laundry machines are up 29%. Airfare is up 25%. Moving expenses are up 17%. Hotels are up 17%. Furniture's up 9%. Bacon's up 8%. TV's up 8%. Fruit's up 7%. Shoes are up 6%. Bill, that sounds significant to me.
Well, inflation is it's a huge topic. First off, you have to understand that inflation, we've been taught as a population since the late 80s, early 90s, that inflation is either the CPI or PPI index. And that's not true. If you can find a dictionary that hasn't been rewritten, the definition of inflation or deflation is linked directly to the money supply. And when the money supply is growing dramatically or outsized, that's inflation. And we've never seen this in our lifetimes, but if the money supply were to decrease, that would be deflation. You have to factor in supply. And we had massive supply chain interruptions because of COVID. Now we've got supply chain interruptions because of shipping. One of the things you mentioned were car prices. And think about this. You've got all these cars and trucks that have been built, but they don't function because they don't have chips.
Right, right.
So there's your reason that used car prices are up 45%. I mean, in what world could a used car come worth more? Well, the answer is in a world where they're not able to produce new cars. And speaking of that, I don't understand how these auto companies, when they tabulate all their production and all their sales, we're running at a 15 or 16 million vehicle rate. It doesn't make sense because they've got lot after lot after lot of cars and trucks that don't work because they've not been finished.
Very true. So more bogus quote data, end quote.
Well, they've changed. They've, as far as the CPI and PPI are concerned, they've changed the way they calculate probably six or seven times since 1990. And that's to be able to show a headline number that's lower than what it actually is.
So, Bill, many people knew you were going to be on today, and they said, please get Bill Holter's assessment of where we are in the precious metals world, because if we look back at the 1970s and early 1980s, precious metals were the kind of the rock, were the stabilizer in people's financial well-being. Folks want to know where we are at that point in 2021, since we're in this what appears to be stagflationary environment.
Well, there's been huge demand on the retail side. The demand, or if you want to call it the offtake from COMEX and LBMA, has exploded over the last year and a half. Production is actually down. If you look at global production, I think the silver and gold production peaked out in 2017-18. No big drops, but the point is they're not increasing any longer. So on one hand, you have the government or central banks of the world just cranking out new currency. And on the other hand, the new supply of gold and silver is not increasing. I think one important thing that people need to understand is, and we talked about this on our show yesterday, if you had a Ford F-150, you had one real vehicle, but you had 400 titles for it, and 400 people had the titles, that's the case in COMEX. There's 1 ounce of gold or 1 ounce of silver for roughly every 400 paper contracts attached to that 1 ounce. So when this thing does blow up, and it mathematically is going to blow up, people are going to find out if they have paper gold as opposed to the physical metal itself, they're going to find out they really don't have the metal. All they have is a piece of paper that says, you know, you have the right to metal, but the metal does not exist.
Bill, at the end of June, there was a financial, I don't know, a directive, whatever, going to be put into place called Basel. Basel III, and many folks suggested, oh, this is going to mean the precious metals are going to skyrocket. When I had you on the show before that, you said, well, but not so fast, not so fast.
Right.
You have to realize who the enemy is we're dealing with. You called that. You said, wait a minute on this price explosion. Do you see that still having any ramifications in the future, near future, far future?
Bank of England has already, or the LBMA has already gotten waivers or walkbacks, if you will. So the most exposed banks are the London banks. The European banks, they are under Basel III, but my question at the time and my question still is, what prevents a central bank from backdooring the margin requirement, if you will, to these banks that are short gold and silver contracts? Mm-hmm. I mean, basically, you could have central banks funding it on the sly. I mean, and people that say, oh, well, you know, that would never happen. Well, what happened in 2010, 2011, we found out that the Federal Reserve had loaned $16 or $17 trillion all over the world and never reported it, and would never have reported on it except they got caught.
True. And they seem to never get caught, do they?
Well, what's going to ultimately happen is the paper markets are going to become untrusted. I mean, there is a scenario where you could see a COMEX gold contract offered at $10 with no bid, and physical gold bid and no offers. In other words, you could see paper gold go to zero and physical gold become unattainable.
And do you believe that's where we're headed?
Ultimately, yeah. Ultimately, the cash physical markets are going to price the metals.
So, Bill, you mentioned about this paper game shenanigans, and you've spoken about that for years and have been right on target and far ahead of the curve on that. What do you believe at this point is going to be the catalyst that takes down the paper market, and where the true price transparency or true price, if you will, of physical metals comes into being?
I've said this many times. I'll say it one more time. It'll be a failure to deliver. Mm-hmm. When somebody buys silver or buys gold, makes their payment and can't get the metal, That will be the event as far as the metals are concerned.
And you have your ear to the ground on a minute by minute basis about what's happening in the physical precious metals availability arena. Where are we with availability for physical gold and physical silver at this point?
Interesting. the U.S. Mint back in March came out and said they actually used the words global silver shortage. Mm-hmm. And about 3-4 days later, they walked it back and they said, "Oh no, it's not a global silver shortage. We just can't source the blanks." Well, that's exactly, that's exactly what it was. And the U.S. Mint went, I think, 11 or 12 weeks without shipping one single Silver Eagle. Now they did ship, I believe it was 3.2 million ounces, 2 or 3 weeks back. I think last week they shipped 700,000 ounces. So they are starting to ship again, but they're way behind where they were any previous year. And interesting, I was talking to Andy Shuckman at Miles Franklin. In all the years, and he's been doing it for 29, 30 years, in all the years he's been doing it, he's never seen the U.S. Mint ever not ship Eagles except when they're going, when they're changing over from 1 year to the next. So it may be late November, early December, and then they don't start shipping until late January or February. But there's never been a point in time where they went essentially 3 months without shipping Eagles in the heart of the calendar.
And we see that if you look at the premium on physical gold and physical silver, they're not exactly at a low point, are they?
Well, the premium, if you look at the premium on Eagles, you're looking at somewhere around $9, $10 over spot. And if you look at premiums on other types of silver, you're in the $4 to $5 range. So the fact that the U.S. Mint went 3 months without shipping anything, there's your market premium.
One of the players in all of this paper shenanigans that have manipulation that has occurred has been through the hands and through the auspices, and tell me if I'm wrong, through that benevolent banking syndicate and in particular J.P. Morgan Chase. Do you think that's a fair assessment, Bill?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I want your take now, on this. The CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase is Jamie Dimon. Right. Headline. Jamie Dimon from Zero Hedge. Jamie Dimon pays himself eight-figure bonus for agreeing to stay on as the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase. We now know the real purpose behind the media-manufactured groundswell of support for J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon to run for president. The longtime JPM CEO just received a special award in the form of an options package worth 1.5 million shares for agreeing to stay on at the helm of the bank. The bank, which is not only the CEO but also chairman of the board for a significant number of years, yeah, they gave him an eight-figure bonus.
Well, it was $50 million is about what it worked out to be. And don't forget, under his leadership, they've pled guilty now to five separate felonies.
One more time, Bill. How many federal felonies?
I believe it was five.
Yeah, and some of those were in manipulation of markets in a fraudulent manner, correct?
Right.
Well, I wonder how much they would have given him if he did it. Maybe if they were hit with ten federal felonies, he probably would have gotten $100 million bonus. Right?
Who knows?
Well, I wonder if that's part of the contract. You know, the more federal indictments and against the bank, I wonder if it raises his bonus. Looks like he got $10 million. Looks like he got $10 million in indictment, huh?
Well, Dave, understand the reasoning behind the suppression of gold and silver. Gold is the direct competitor to fiat currencies, in particular the U.S. dollar. Silver, the small cousin, silver can't be let loose because if silver traded freely and was trading at $200, $300, $400 an ounce, gold would be much, much higher. If gold was much, much higher, there'd be less trust, or call it outright distrust, in the dollar, and that would definitely hinder the ability of the U.S. Treasury to borrow. And that's the only way we live. The whole world lives on credit. And if you blew up the biggest borrower in the world, then you've blown up the credit structure entirely.
Now, Bill, and folks, we're speaking with Bill Holter from JS Mine, M-I-N-E, mindset.com. Bill, I want to run this by you. Many people say, okay, well, I understand that gold and silver insurance policies in this deflationary environment, but I also think that maybe cryptocurrencies could hold some insurance, if you will. This came out this morning from Jeff John Roberts from Decrypt.com. Not a drill. Infrastructure bill, you know, I don't know, $4 trillion or $3 trillion. I don't know what they do. They're throwing trillions around like crazy in Washington right now. Well, they always do, but it's out of control now. Infrastructure bill could sink American crypto industry. The government claims to partially cover the cost of a massive infrastructure bill by taxing crypto companies, and the entire industry will feel it. The pain comes in the part of the bill that explains how the U.S. will help pay for those roads and bridges. Namely, the bill states that Uncle Sam plans to cover $28 billion of the costs by squeezing crypto brokers. Your take, Bill?
Well, if you recall, say 4 or 5 years ago, the big sizzle to cryptocurrency was it was totally anonymous.
Right.
And well, guess what? It's not totally anonymous. And in that bill, what they want to do is any transaction of over $10,000 gets reported to the government. So at current price, if you trade more than a quarter of one Bitcoin, it's reported. It never was anonymous, but that's my point is, you know, part of the sizzle to begin with was, you know, you're getting out of the system and it's anonymous.
So Bill, educate us on what you believe is going to transpire over the next 3 to 6 months.
Within 3 to 6 months, this whole thing could go total foobar. I'm not privy to when they're going to pull the trigger, but I mean, this is going to be a triggered event. They've told you they want to do a reset. And how do you get people begging, help us? You take the system down.
Yep.
And I think you're going to see it in real estate. I think you're going to see credit markets just collapse. The stock market will probably collapse and then move as all equity markets do once you're in hyperinflation. So I think that's where we're headed is hyperinflation.
Where the single most effective way to people to protect
becomes worth less and the things you need cost more.
And the single most effective way for people to protect themselves?
Well, financially, get out of the system. Get your capital out of the system. Own gold, own silver, and have it in your possession or in a non-bank private vault.
Bill, I'd like to thank you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. Folks, you can gain more knowledge than you could ever imagine by going to jsmindset.com. And Bill and Jim write every day. They put information up that you need to know that the bought-off lamestream fake media and deep state do not want you to know about. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom. Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from Ancillary Bunker. Link to our main Freedom Bunker in the People's Republic of Ann Arbor.